Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are with us now, that you are always with us. And we pray that as we come to your word, you may help us to understand it and apply it for us personally, so that we may honour you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Earthquake, wind, fire. What amazing things. What conjures up in your mind at the moment to do with earthquakes, wind, and fire? Oh, I've got an answer. I wasn't expecting an answer, but that's the news. Right, the news. The news this morning said this, that there are now fires in Nova Scotia in Canada. That's amazing, isn't it? That is amazing. And possibly you've remembered all these devastations that have been happening in the world. The devastation of earthquakes in Japan, just harming a few people, damaging buildings. But in Venezuela, where so many people have lost their homes and families and things like that. These devastating earthquakes, those wildfires, not only in Nova Scotia, but in Greece, in Spain, in France, in the Netherlands, just after where our family was a few weeks ago. Things like this, pretty dramatic, aren't they? And of course, just not far from us, in Suffolk, where those fires devastated wonderful heathlands. These, when we have fires, they are unpredictable. You don't know where they're going. You don't know where the fans and the flames, the wind is fanning them and flaming them and causing devastations all over the place. And as we look at events like these, don't we realise, perhaps, that we are not as all-powerful as people think they are? We are not in control of the world as we sometimes think we are. Even mad politicians who do devastating things are not completely in control of our world. In our Old Testament reading, as we heard, there was the fire and the wind and the earthquake. They were all mentioned, these powerful events which take place in our world. So what's the story behind all that? Well, it was to do with the life of Elijah, one of the great prophets of God. And at that time in Israel, there was a king called Ahab, and he had a wife called Jezebel. I actually once named my motorbike Jezebel, because it kept on going wrong and breaking down. Anyway, that's a different thing, really. So Jezebel and Ahab were worshipping a false god, as we heard, called Baal. That's what they were doing. They were not following the god that they should have been doing in their country. And Jezebel was a pretty evil woman, and she was killing off the prophets of God. Terrible, wasn't it? Doing that. And then Elijah, who was also a prophet of God, amazingly was able to convince Ahab that they could have a meeting together, that they would call together the prophets of Baal and meet with Elijah. So they did. So what Elijah did was he challenged these prophets to do certain things. If your God is true, if Baal is true, we want you to do this, to set up an altar, put on a bull to be sacrificed, and let your God come down and burn up that bull. That was the challenge. And I'll do the same. I'll have a bull as well. This was the challenge. And so the prophets of Baal were there all day long, crying out, cutting themselves, doing awful things, and asking Baal to burn up this bull. Never happened. It never happened. And then Elijah, the prophet of God, did this. There was his bull. He'd built, rebuilt an altar that had been broken down, an altar that had been there for God. And then he drenched the bull with masses and masses of water that poured over everywhere, right down, even spread along the ground. And then he called on the Lord, and the Lord brought the fire down, and the bull burnt up, showing the power of God. And then, sadly, the prophets of Baal were eliminated. And on hearing this, Queen Jezebel sent a message to Elijah. It was this: I'm going to kill you within the next 24 hours. Bit interesting, that, wasn't it? But that was the thing that she sent, the message that she sent to Elijah. Now, how did that affect Elijah, do you think? Here's this wicked queen going to come and kill me. What shall I do? After all, he trusted God. He'd asked God to do things, seen it happen. But what he actually did was run away. He was afraid. He ran away to save his life, so he thought. Even though he had experienced the Lord, his God, at work. Do you know that happens to us? We do that sometimes, you know. We've heard God helping us, being with us, and then we fail and move away from him and don't do it as we perhaps ought to do. And last week, we heard about a completely different sort of teaching. We heard about Jesus teaching and healing people, providing for them, after they've been there all day, providing food for them, feeding, we're told, 5,000 men, plus women, plus children, from a few loaves of bread, fish. Amazing. But this was Jesus, God, Son of God. And then the story goes on. This is what Jesus says. He says, I want you, my friends, my disciples, to go now at the end of this time when he'd been teaching and preaching and healing. And he sent them into a boat and sent them off across the lake of Galilee, or Gennesaret, towards Gennesaret. And what he did was then he sent the crowd away, told them to go home, and they went. Then after that, this is what Jesus did. After a full day, after an exhausting day, he actually went up the hillside, up the mountainside, not to sleep, but to pray, to talk to his heavenly Father and talk with him. And he was there that evening alone in prayer. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. Do we give ourselves to pray, to directly communicate with God? Or are we too occupied with lots of other things? We live in a busy world. If you're a person who's got a job, you have a lot of pressure on you. You know, I used to be a teacher. When I see the pressures on teachers nowadays compared with 20 years ago, it is amazing. I know teachers. But you know people in other professions who are forced to do all kinds of work for a long time. We are pressurized. So are we so pressurized that we lose touch with our Lord? Well, the disciples were out there in the lake, and they were struggling against the elements. The wind was blowing and blowing, and they weren't getting to the place, the other side of the lake, where they were supposed to go to. Excuse me. the wind was so strong. And then, as we heard, suddenly they see this figure appearing. What's that? A ghost! This figure coming towards them on the water. And they suddenly saw that it was Jesus. They were afraid. But they didn't realize at first that it had been Jesus. And so they cried out, and Jesus reassured them, "Don't be afraid. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." So he's reassuring them. Then Peter, one of those followers, said this, If it is you, God, let me come to you. What? Come to you? There's Jesus walking on the water. That was amazing anyway for it, wasn't it? But you see, he's God, control of the earth and the heavens. And he was able to do this in an unusual way when he was here on earth as man. And so Peter steps out of the boat and starts walking towards Jesus. So, that's what he's doing. Until suddenly he felt the effect of the wind. So what does he do? He takes his eyes off Jesus. He sees the wind, the waves washing around and that kind of thing. And then he was afraid and starts to sink. But thankfully, he then says, "Please help me, Lord." And Jesus reached out his hand to help him. And they came and got into the boat. Are you afraid of anything? Are you afraid of anything? Spiders. Snakes. Do you know, someone we know actually was so afraid of snakes that when they appeared on the television, had to hide eyes because was frightened. How strange. Are you afraid of anything? Are you afraid of the dark? Are you afraid of poverty? Are you afraid of illness? Are you afraid of being so pressurized in your job that it's so difficult to do? Are you afraid that you might lose your job? That your finances will be diminished? Are you afraid of illness and illness, serious illness? Are you afraid of death? When we have problems and fears, do we actually tell God about them? Do we share them with our family and friends? Or just do we keep them inside, festering as it might be? Or do we look, as I say, elsewhere? In the case of Elijah and the disciples, the Lord intervened. Elijah, when he was afraid, left and travelled a long way. And actually, God helped him and sustained him with food on the way. And eventually, he arrived and was in this cave, as you heard, spending a night in the cave. And then, the voice of the Lord told him to go out of the cave. And the Lord would pass by. Then comes this great and powerful wind. There is this earthquake. There's a shattering of the rocks. And then there's fire as well. But the Lord was not in any of those things. The Lord came in a quiet whisper, a quiet voice. Sometimes when we are reading God's word or praying or just sitting looking out at the beautiful garden that we might have, or the countryside that we're in. Just something like that. And a prompt may come into our minds, a prompt from God. Not necessarily a voice, although some occasionally, very rarely, have heard directly a voice into their minds. So the prompt may come to us to do something, to visit someone, to write to someone or email someone we've not been in contact with for ages, to actually physically telephone someone, speak to them directly. We do send a lot of emails nowadays, don't we? And our direct conversation with people is not the same as it was years ago. So, we may be told to support some organisations, Christian organisations, non-Christian organisations that are benefiting our world and people. Do we listen to God's voice telling us to do so, do things? So the Lord told Elijah, go back, go back. And then he made a comment, Elijah, at least 7,000 people in Israel are following me as well. And so Elijah was reassured and went back. Like Elijah, we too can be overwhelmed by our circumstances. And we can sadly, as followers of Christ, take our eyes off the Lord. But when we come to him, when we come to him and tell him, we didn't get it right, Lord. I mean, I can say I've not got all things right in my life. And my family will tell you that as well, particularly my wife. But what we can do is we can come back to him and say, sorry, Lord, I did get it wrong. I hurt somebody. I failed to do something I keep on saying I'm going to do, and things like that. And then, because he's loving, he will forgive us and restore us and give us the strength to go on. And he can calm us. Calm us. That's amazing. Just as the wind died down, the waves got calm, he can calm you and me. And in the quietness and calmness of coming to receive the bread and wine as we receive communion this morning, we are reminded that Jesus loved us. We're reminded that he died to save us, to forgive us. And you know that. So that we can live our lives for him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us each day to worship you, to feel your presence with us, and to be calm as we relate to our family and other people. And give us wisdom to carry out the tasks we have to do so that we may honour you. Amen.